Our epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 2. This is the second in our series of 1 Corinthians over the summer. This is from chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. You can find this on page 1773 of the Pew Bible. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word of the Lord. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. And I want everybody to step into their time machines this morning. We're going to go just a little ways back to March of this year. Now, I know that if someone asked me to get into my time machine and go back in time, I'd want to go somewhere a little bit cooler than this past March. But March has something important for us this morning. Back in March, during Lent, one of the passages that I preached on from the lectionary was the second half of 1 Corinthians 1. During the series, those of you who are reading along at home and using the study guide will read the whole book of 1 Corinthians. But for the interest of time and keeping church services in around about an hour rather than three or four, I will not be covering every single word of every single chapter of 1 Corinthians. But conveniently, I recently preached on that second half of 1 Corinthians that we didn't cover last week. So for those of you who would like to look at that part of the chapter, I've added it to the back of the manuscript from this week's sermon. So last week we covered the first half of chapter 1. And then after the introduction in that second half, Paul begins talking about how what the world thinks is wisdom is not what God says wisdom is. In chapter 2, which I just read, Paul continues on this theme of wisdom. Here he provides a little more detail about what exactly he means and how this wisdom of God can be proclaimed. The Corinthian church had a flawed view of what wisdom was. The whole known world at the time had a flawed view of what wisdom is. Paul was up against a great number of blowhard politicians and philosophers who knew how to use pretty words to get people to hear what they wanted to hear. Paul knew how to use pretty words too, and he frequently did. But he says, remember, God is a mystery. As soon as you talk like you know exactly how God operates, and like you know all that there is to know about God, you've missed the point. Now, we like to be smart in our culture. We want to know everything there is to know about everything. But that doesn't automatically make us wise. We talk up the importance of accumulating fact with phrases like knowledge is power and the more you know. We have whole game shows on TV that are just a contest to see who knows the most trivia. Now, education is certainly important for getting along in our culture and for developing ourselves as people. And shows like Jeopardy are pretty fun. My sister's auditioning for it this month, which is pretty cool. And Paul doesn't want to shun education or fact or knowledge. In fact, in other places in his letters, he spends a great deal of time telling everyone his testimony and his history, including his impressive education. It's just that wisdom is more than having a smart or clever thing to say in every circumstance. It's more than just knowing the trivia and being able to recall it quickly to answer tricky questions. But this can be elusive. And maybe that's why we cling to fact and knowledge so much more than God's wisdom. It's easier to measure facts than it is to measure wisdom. We can sound and look smart when we have a long list of educational and factual accomplishments. It's easier to measure and prove data than this mystery that Paul is talking about. Wisdom is knowing God, which means that wisdom has to do with a great, big, giant mystery. We can't even begin to understand God by our own power. Every bit of understanding we have about God, we have because the Holy Spirit has shown it to us. Proverbs 2 says that it's the Lord who gives us wisdom. It's not something we achieve on our own. The trouble with this is that it's pretty frustrating to admit that we can't really know anything of eternal value on our own. And it can be frustrating to admit that everything that we rest our eternity on is based on what Paul calls the mystery of God. Fortunately, Paul doesn't leave us hanging here. He gives us some insight as to how to deal with this. We just have to dig around for it a little bit. You see, the first thing Paul does, after saying that God's wisdom is mysterious, God's wisdom seems foolish to the world sometimes, is he keeps talking about it anyway. Even after saying that God's wisdom is different than anything we can get our hands on in the world, and from all the pretty speeches and monologues the other politicians and philosophers are giving, Paul keeps on preaching. He doesn't let the idea of mystery stop him. He doesn't let the idea of sounding foolish compared to worldly wisdom stop him. He keeps proclaiming the message of freedom in Jesus Christ, the message of true wisdom, of the gospel. He admits that wisdom is a mystery without the Spirit. He's bold in proclaiming the message, but not because he's got it all figured out. He's bold in proclaiming the message because he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Before Paul became a Christian, he was a hotshot in the Jewish community of Jerusalem. He knew all about talking a good talk, and he was bold then as he persecuted the Christians he would later join. At that time, he knew he was big stuff, and he knew all the right facts that he was supposed to know. But later, as a preacher of the Christian message, of the gospel, he was no longer bold because he was just full of himself or confident. He was saying these things by the power given and the wisdom revealed by the Holy Spirit. There's more to being filled with the Holy Spirit than a noisy church service. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are given the power and the courage to proclaim real truth to a hurting world. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are shown the wisdom that is mysterious and impossible to understand on human terms. Wisdom that is illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, like Proverbs 2 says, we are to make our ears attentive to wisdom. We open ourselves up to be those who proclaim the gospel to others. We can follow Paul's example when we too proclaim wisdom. That's our job as Christians, after all, going into all the world to proclaim the gospel. It's a daunting task. Many of us feel like we might not know enough or don't have great speaking skills. Now, it's important to never stop studying your Bible and to always keep going to Sunday school classes and other things like that to learn more about your faith, no matter how old or young or smart you are. But that's not all there is to it. And even those who don't feel smart or full of facts and knowledge can proclaim wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. We start by talking about the center of real wisdom, Jesus. Paul says earlier that this is going to sound silly to some people, but we can't let that deter us. That doesn't mean that we have to go around knocking on people's doors or passing out flyers. It doesn't mean that we have to have some magic evangelism script memorized. What it does mean is that people don't come to know Jesus if we're silent. Rarely will someone walk up to any one of us and just strike up a conversation about Jesus. So as individuals and as a congregation, we are the ones who need to start the conversation. Speaking this wisdom boldly isn't about self-confidence or being a master orator. It's not about having a list of bullet points memorized by which to argue the other person into submission to Christ. We are bold to proclaim the gospel because of the confidence in the Spirit who guides us. We can't understand this real wisdom without the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can't share it with others without the power of the Holy Spirit. In the introduction to this letter, Paul tells the Corinthians that they are to present a united front to those outside of the church. They are to proclaim one message, the message that Jesus Christ is Lord, and in Christ we are made free from the bondage of sin. He moves on to tell the readers that this is real wisdom. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, the wisdom we are shown by the Holy Spirit, is much greater than any fancy speech maker or really smart person. Any wisdom that is not based on the work of Jesus is just earthly knowledge. In the coming chapters, he will talk about how to treat self and others in order to best proclaim this wisdom in action and not just words. He'll talk about how to proclaim the message with words as well. Later yet, he'll talk about how we glorify God when we proclaim his wisdom, how we are to worship and behave as a church community. Finally, he'll circle back around to this idea of God's wisdom. The other stuff is important, but it always comes around to remembering that God's ways are not our ways. God's wisdom is not our wisdom. And if we are to be faithful witnesses in the world, we need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal the gospel through us, rather than relying on our own power. So let's spend some time together over this summer thinking about the ways in which we can start the conversation with our neighborhood, with Liberty Borough. How can we proclaim the foolish wisdom of the cross to our community? I'd like to close in brief prayer this morning before we move on to our hymn. And as I pray, I ask that you join me in praying for those with whom you want to share this wisdom. Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you and to shine a light on God's wisdom, the message of the gospel, to those people in your words and in your actions. This summer, we'll be holding a few casual Saturday night services out on the lawn of the church. Pray about what neighbors or friends you might want to invite to those services. Pray about other ways that we might reach out and start the conversation with our community. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you humbly this morning, asking that you would fill each and every one of us with your Spirit, that you would make our ears attentive to your wisdom, that you would guide us and make clear to us the ways in which we might share that wisdom with others. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move in their lives as well. We pray for all of the activities that the church is doing this summer for the community. We pray for your blessing on Vacation Bible School, on the flea market, on the Saturday night services. Lord God, we ask that those would be times not just of fellowship, but of community and of starting the conversation with the people around us. We ask that you would move in each one of our hearts. Prepare us, Lord, to be your witnesses in the world. All these things we lift up in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.